kiss.
And parents have a CPR doll. We can practice kissing on that.
Stop! You should never kiss someone without their permission.
May I kiss you?
What do you like about me?
You're sweet, you smell good. You're a really pretty CPR doll.
I consent.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by ExpressVPN. I'm Victor Manis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Lass. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look at our podcast and search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, welcome back.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Doing great. What is going on with you? You were at the beach.
I was at the beach. We left 48 hours ahead of the hurricane. There is now a mandatory evacuation on my island. It's great.
Do they think it's going to... I mean, everyone thought it was going right into Florida, and now it's skirting Florida and just running
Moving up the coast.
Charleston and then up.
I would not be concerned, except that my town got pasted last year by a storm.
I remember.
In September, and all of the dunes on the island are basically gone.
But that was a direct hit.
Yeah, it was a direct hit. But all the natural defenses to a storm surge are essentially gone.
The berms.
Right. And I am slightly concerned. But, you know, like, how bad could it be? That was a great show while I was gone, boys.
Oh, you mean with Matt AEI's Matt Cottinetti?
Blinded by
the American Enterprise Institute's
complaining about the movie about Bruce Springsteen not having enough U2.
Oh, it's 1987. Is that very
Subbeacon thing? Peak Subbeacon.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
was great.
That was very
and
much
a
me.
B minus.
Yeah, I know it's bad.
You must have hated this movie.
Yeah, that was almost as bad as Widows.
Hated it.
Wow.
It was funny. The guy who wrote the book that this movie is based on tweeted at me. Because I kept talking about how much I hated the movie.
I remember what he said.
It was after I was on the Hugh Hewitt show, and I was like, the movie's not good. I don't like it. And the guy like tweeted me and Hugh and was like, Hugh, you should make up your mind for yourself. I was like, all right, well, okay.
Calm down, guy. I believe the guy had said something like, it's clear the writer
has no heart and no soul. I mean, he's not wrong.
No,
I was going to say, that was totally fair.
That was like, he's not wrong. I didn't really have a comeback for that. I just let it go.
That's funny. Who is 11? I was very interested in this TV show you guys were talking about.
Oh, the one called Stranger Things?
Yes. And have you seen the Stranger Things Lego set? Because it's the double world Lego set, right? I assume Mike Mattis wants this.
We don't have it, but I saw the thing on Amazon because they have recommendations because they know what you'd like. But I don't know how that works. So you could turn it upside down, and how does it balance? Is there a thing, or is it like
it's flat on both sides? You know what? I'm gonna get you the Leppin weird stuff.
Oh, good.
The weird stuff version for you to build.
Weirder stuff three.
Weirder stuffs.
That's good.
That'll be good.
I'd love to see that. I was speaking of the hurricane. Did you see the story about the cruise islands?
No.
So the cruise ship islands.
Oh yeah,
because they're all in the Bahamas.
I assume they're literally just underwater.
No, I don't think they were too bad. The big story was Disney. It turns out they left people on the island. Now my understanding, because they have their own island, Castaway Cay, and my understanding is that
Isla Nublar.
Isla Nublar. That's right. And then the other one, and that at the end of the day, when the ships leave, everybody leaves. It turns out there are people who actually live there year round, like a handful of people. Could you imagine that?
Hmm? Caretakers.
Yeah, the caretakers.
Wild.
So, but this time they left. I don't know. It was like almost 100 people on the island, and there's a tropical storm thing. I see you're nodding, like you're assuming it's like Blue Lagoon.
100%.
I was gonna say. I mean, but they said that there was plenty of food and water for them. I just imagined that
50 men, 50 women,
and then
we must recreate a society.
Nine months from now, the Disney population. Anyway,
so I don't understand. Are these all Disney employees?
Yeah. Disney employees.
That they just leave on the island.
But the storm went to the north.
Subcontractor, probably not actual Disney employees.
The storm went to the north of them, so they said it was tropical storm level, not hurricane level. It was fine. Plus, I imagine all the Mickey Mouse ice cream bars you can eat in a bunker.
So I had a moment of personal growth that I would like to this share morning. With you guys. Are you guys pack rats at all? Do you save stuff?
Yeah.
But I might need this thing.
I'm getting better. I know people who are really bad about it.
I went to a conference and they gave out this notebook to take notes in, and I didn't really use it. But I might need a notebook sometimes.
That's
I'm gonna
definitely
save
true. I never throw away a notebook unless it's full. That's crazy.
I used to be very, very bad about this. Now I'm really only bad about this about books. Like I basically refuse to get rid of books. What if you remember something that you read? You need to reference it.
The worst is, and it'll confirm all of your various, you know, OCD tendencies regarding being a pack rat, is when you decide to finally get rid of it, something like a book, it'll turn out to be you need that book.
Yeah.
Like a week later, wait, it's gone now. So what's your situation with being a pack rat?
So you will recall the problem we had with my dishwasher when my beloved Bosch died. And we got a new Bosch. Mm-hmm. And
it was not as quiet as it was supposed to be.
No, but also had a different configuration on the bottom rack.
Uh-huh.
And I really loved the bottom rack on my old Bosch.
Right.
And so I kept it.
Yes, I remember this. I remember.
So I kept the bottom rack of a dishwasher
right.
My garage.
I remember this moment of psychosis very well from the
show. I thought to myself, I might need it. What if I need the bottom rack, a really well-engineered and well-designed bottom rack for a Bosch dishwasher?
When wouldn't you need it?
So frankly. I'm going to keep it.
Okay.
And I left it in my garage for about a year, and it was one of these things that gnawed at me because I knew that it was psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this is a bad thing. Like, you can't live like this. Mm-hmm. Just throw the forking Bosch rack away.
This is not how humans live.
So I threw it away. I threw it away about 6 weeks ago.
And then,
sure enough,
2 weeks later,
we went down to the beach, and we have a very small place in a faraway part of the North Carolina beach, and we have a Bosch there. And when I went in, the first thing I did, of course, was check on the dishwasher, and I opened it up, and someone who had rented our place out from us had gone and bent the tines in the bottom rack to make it essentially unusable.
Why?
You can't fit stuff in there.
Why would they do that?
Just carelessness and idiocy, and clearly they had not read the manual, which I leave out for the people who rent my place. I leave the Bosch manual out so they know how to properly load the dishwasher. And here, I have literally just thrown away the perfect replacement bottom rack for this thing. And now, what do I have to do? I have to, like, order a new... Can you even buy a new bottom rack?
You gotta spend, like, $200 on a new one. Mm-hmm.
So the lesson here...
Never throw anything away.
Never throw anything away. It's like one of these...
Garbage.
It's like Chopped.
This is how... This is the origin story for an episode of Hoarders.
Yeah.
This is like... In like 20 years, we'll have JVL Hoarders TLC.
And it turns out that this sort of thing happens with almost all of my eccentricities. So like one of the things I have is... I think I've said this to you guys. In every place I go out to eat, I only have one thing that I order there.
What do you mean?
Like, if there's only one thing I get at Chopped, there's only one thing I get at the Palm. Like, there's only one dish.
You don't vary.
But it's not the same thing at every restaurant. It's
right.
Tailored
right.
to that
right.
restaurant.
So it's a thing that I... Okay. And because my view is, like, I have a thing that I know I like. Mm-hmm. Why, if you find a thing you like, why would you try something different that you might not
because
like?
Because you never know. You get over it. What's the worst that happens? You don't like it. But you never know. It could be something
this
even
is,
more amazing.
I have a lot of sympathy for this point of view.
But it's wrong. It's wrong. Again, I know it's a psychosis.
The whole point of going to a restaurant is to like try something new.
So for like 7 years, I would go to Chopped once a week or once every 2 weeks, and I would order the exact same
thing. Wait, what would you get?
The Santa Fe salad.
Is there any meat in that?
There's no murder meat in that.
There's chicken.
But I hate myself for this. Mm-hmm. I literally do. It's one of the things that I hate most about myself. And then a couple of years ago, I worked up all of my willpower. Mm-hmm. I walked into Chop and I ordered a different salad and I hated it.
Mm-hmm. What'd you
and
order?
All it did it was like the kale Caesar or something.
Well, that was your
it
mistake.
Was just
kale's
awful.
Disgusting. Kale's a trash lettuce.
But all it did was underscore that my original psychosis is right.
Yeah.
And so it winds up locking in all the what I'm saying is my attempts to fix myself mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as a human being mm-hmm, mm-hmm. have basically all backfired.
They're all backfiring.
And they're just making me more screwed up than I was to start.
I can relate to this. That's I can all. Relate to this because I have my own various OCD tendencies. At the moment I have a real problem with numbers. You know, like if I'm on the so I run a lot.
You've always had a problem with numbers.
Safe from science,
that's why
baby.
I went to Georgetown.
So I run now, right? I'm on the treadmill, and I run about 4.5 miles. Three times a week. So I'm trying to get healthy. I have my blood test next week and everything. I've been doing this for 6 months, though, where I upped it from like 2 miles to 5K level to 4.85.
That's you.
But I'm just weird. Like, oh, you know, 13 is a bad number. So if the number is going to be 13, don't look at the clock when it's 13. Just watch the TV or something. And then I said, you know what, though? This is completely ridiculous.
I'm sorry. What number?
13. 13 is a bad number.
No, this is a Jim Carrey movie.
What number on, like, the
13-minute mark?
13 miles? 13
The
13-second
mark in every minute?
Anything.
Anything with the number 13.
Yes. 0.13 miles, 13 calories. So 13 minutes, 13 seconds? Oh,
away.
God forbid.
Is it,
look away.
So, is it a thing where you can't actually see, you don't want to see the numbers?
Yes, I don't want to see the number.
So you just look away.
I said, I think it's
this
bad
This is
luck.
Literally like, the Jim Carrey movie. Like, remember this? Numbers oh, really? Where like, it was like the number
23?
Whatever it was.
Was it?
Yes.
So I said, you know what, though? This is so ridiculous. Like you said, this is ridiculous. It's completely illogical. I said, I'm looking. I'm going to look at a 13, you know, from time to time, and I strained my hip flexor. So you know what? The number had the power.
It did.
What was the number in the movie? It's called
the number 23.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, you know what? Stick to your. We all have our psychoses, and there's reasons for it.
They're there for a reason. They're there to protect us.
No, like there's a lot of hotel rooms like that don't have the number 13 on it and stuff like that.
Floors,
but we all know 14 is 13.
And airplanes, right? Didn't they skip the F-13 and go right to the F-14?
There is no F-13. Well, that's true. Uh-huh.
Sonny, how are you?
Yeah, Sonny.
Now that
we're done with the
I'm
mental
good.
Illness section.
I feel much,
this is like
frankly,
group therapy today.
Frankly, I feel much, much better about myself than I did like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. I don't have any craziness in my life right now. I'm not going slowly insane, which is good. No, I don't. I'm great. I don't. This has been very overwhelming for me. I feel like a therapist who's like I'm watching Mindhunter right now on Netflix, the show that's about like the first FBI profiler.
The comic book guy at my comic book shop was telling me about that this weekend.
It's pretty good. I watched the first 5 hours or so over the last couple days. It's very good, but this is like what it is. This is kind of what it's like watching the show. It's like you have this straight-laced FBI guy who sits there.
You.
And he listens to these murderers talk about how they like cut people's heads off and then have sex with the faces. That is should we beat
it's
that?
It's going down. But you're going down a dark. You're going down a dark path. But
all
no,
I want to do is hold on to dishwasher
it was
parts.
Like, it was like that's it all. Was. It would be like the episode would be like. So tell us a little bit about your childhood. And the guy would be like, well, you know, I always had a very specific way of loading the dishwasher. And one day the tines got bent and I couldn't replace it. So I found my mother and she said that I hadn't cleaned the dishes right. So I cut off her arms and legs and I put her in the dishwasher and I washed her. That's like what the show would be like, and we're
why is Jonathan smiling? You have such like, a warm, glowing smile. Look, he genuinely has a warm, glowing smile.
I feel pretty good about myself.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Good. I forgot to mention this because I saw this in the news that Nicolas Cage's new movie coming out called The Color Out of Space, and they say it's even crazier than Mandy. Is that possible? Right. I haven't even seen Mandy.
Mandy's great.
Yeah, you
I
love
mean, it's
it.
Crazy,
and what is this thing? Why is he covered in blood? What is happening there?
Well, his wife has been murdered. Well, I can't remember exactly at what point he's covered with blood. If that's then or later, but he the titular Mandy.
Yeah.
Is murdered like halfway through, and then he goes on a quest for revenge.
Okay. Well, it's a classic Nicolas Cage then.
It's a very weird movie. It's a very, very weird movie, and it won't be to everybody's tastes. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. And it has some great small bit performances, like for instance, Bill Duke.
Bill Duke. Yeah.
He's still around. He's still doing work. Wait,
The Color Out of Space, I guess, is H.P. Lovecraft. A meteor lands on this guy's house, and then he gets and crazy.
Gets crazy.
But yeah. It's, and who better to cast?
Does he turn it? Does he have like tentacle arms?
It screams.
I hate H.P. Lovecraft. Have we ever? Have we? I am not a Lovecraft fan at all. I tried to read a collection of his shorts. I mean, I read a collection of his short stories, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And every single one of them has a passage that is something like, the man gazed upon the unutterable horror with his skin crawling, and the shapes were coming out of the space, but he couldn't describe them because they were so evil and horrific. And I was like, well, that's a cheat.
That's a cheat.
It's a cheat. Anytime you as the writer say the thing is indescribable, you are failing as a writer because that's literally your only job is that's to describe to me the thing that is happening. And every Lovecraft was like this. It was like, you know, some guy comes across some unutterable horror and it's like, well, okay, well, maybe utter it so I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And not to get all literary here. Because I rarely read, but I've been reading for the last several years Pete Hamill's memoir, A Drinking Life, and he talked
several years
about, for several years because I keep getting interrupted by work. But he was talking about as a kid growing up in, you know, in 1940s Brooklyn and you know in the mean streets and stuff and these Irish neighborhoods. But he would escape to the library and he talked about discovering you know all the great authors, including you know Charles Dickens and even Rudyard Kipling and stuff. And he was talking about Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and he has an excerpt from Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and the transformation and how the writing of that so it was so gripped him because he didn't say, oh, I can't describe how he, you know what I mean? It's like, he describes it and it's very powerful. So I wouldn't know. I didn't read that book. But anyway, I lost my transition.
How are you, Victorino?
I'm doing
fine. Have you been in
the hip flexor? The hip flexor is, you know, it's a thing, but it's getting better.
So wait, I'm sorry, I missed that. Did you say you fell off the treadmill?
No, I didn't fall off the treadmill. It just I aggravated it.
So you kind of misstepped because you didn't want to look at the 13
something like that
seconds.
Because he was looking at the 13 seconds. He was staring in trance,
looking at it,
at the indescribable horror,
the straight one and the curved three. But it wasn't curved; it was digital.
And it did it. You know what? I'm just looking at the clock right now. We better be done by 10:13. I'm telling you right now, it's 9:28. Okay. Anyway, I'm doing fine. Just trying to get better and trying to be healthy. But I did have a transition for Nicolas Cage. So let's pretend we were just finishing that. And I'm going to say I love Nicolas Cage movies, including City of Angels. Remember that one?
Brower.
But
sure. You and I saw that together.
We did.
Yep.
This is such a good transition.
Anyway, I was
going to
say...
I can tell you which one. The Cineplex Odeon up next to what used to be the last Roy Rogers in D.C.
I don't remember much about the movie. Anyway, speaking of fallen angels, over the weekend, Angel Has Fallen remained at the top of the box office. Oof. That was a hard one to do because I'd never seen these movies.
Really?
I haven't done it. Sorry. $11.8 million followed by Good Boys with $9.5 million. And in third place, The Lion King, which took in $6.8 million. Boy, that's a paltry sum for the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, first off, you should see Olympus Has Fallen. I think you would enjoy it.
Is it Gerard Butler every time?
Yeah, it's Gerard Butler every time. First off, it's Die Hard in a building, so it has that going for it.
I thought it was with Jamie Foxx.
Work for anyone.
Thank you. All right, isn't Jamie Foxx
very good?
No, that was White House Down. White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen came out like it was one of these like Volcano, Dante's Peak things.
Armageddon, Deep Impact.
Armageddon, Deep Impact, where they came out within like 6 months of each other. And Olympus Has Fallen is a million times better than White House Down.
Okay.
Yes.
But Olympus Has Fallen was directed by Antoine Fuqua. Big plus number one, Trading Day. But number two, actually, like, as somebody who enjoys military strategy and tactics, I think you would actually enjoy watching the North Korean assault on Washington, D.C.,
100%.
Just to see how it goes down. I think
you
would actually...
brilliantly staged.
North Korea invasion of America.
Right. No, like, the North Korean invasion of the Western United States made no sense because there's, like, 12 North Koreans.
Right.
But this idea that they could get a commando team together and assault the White House actually like made more sense on a rational level. And it's also very well staged and very well done. I mean, the rest of the movie's okay.
I can't believe you haven't seen those.
Yeah, no. I think you would
and
like
it.
And
I was it. About I to make really a joke about how they could, whatever, but I'm not going to make a joke. Continue.
Yeah, so this is always a bad weekend at the box office, the Labor Day weekend. But I would like to just note that it is. If you look at the drops this weekend, right? So Angel Has Fallen dropped 45%, which is like not a great hold, but also probably better than it would have been if there was anything else out this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Good Boys dropped 18%. The Lion King dropped 14%. Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, in its fifth week, dropped less than 20%. Ready or Not dropped 26%, which is a great hold for a horror movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood dropped 17%. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, again, another horror movie, dropped only 14%. My point here is that these movies are not dropping the standard 40 to 50% in their third or fourth weekend.
Slower.
And one of the reasons for this is that there's nothing new at the box office. So now maybe if the studios decided that they didn't have to release a tentpole every weekend, things could hold a little better and the industry might be more sustainable and you could have these mid-budget films that are doing pretty well at the box office this weekend. That would be my big takeaway from this terrible, terrible box office report.
Thank you, JV. Do you have any thoughts?
No, I actually have a question though for you, Johnny. Yes. Did you like Ready or Not?
I actually haven't seen it yet. I wanted to go see it. I didn't go see it.
Because all I know is I looked at it and it's got my favorite Canadian actor, Kittredge, from Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Henry Zerny in it. And I just thought Henry Zerny is the patriarch of an insane, murderous family. If I did horror...
That's how you would do it?
That is a movie I would do.
I think you would enjoy seeing this because my understanding is that it's about how the 1% is bad.
Oh,
is it like Ooh. This is like supposedly this is the movie The Hunt was supposed to be. It's like it's about the 1% being okay. terrible and
Snowpiercer, but horror.
Wow. Snowpiercer is already kind of horror. Wow. I don't know.
In your absence, JVL, did you get a chance to see the Star Wars trailer? The new
one.
Not.
In fact, I didn't even know that there was one.
Yes, and it's kind of well. I mean, we saw it. Sonny and I saw it. Why don't you see it?
Let's do it live. So we were talking about this.
Let's do it live. We're gonna do it live.
Do it live. Just do it
okay,
live.
So
come sit on my lap.
This is gonna be like the trailer reaction videos, except
but on
for you
a podcast.
But you can't see JVL's face, but you know those videos because you love them secretly. Okay, here we go. JVL.
Thank God this is only like a minute long.
That's Tatooine. Oh, it's Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Hey, they're showing us scenes from movies we actually like. Look at that.
Does it make you feel warm?
Han Solo's in it. Hey, I would go see Star Wars A New Hope again. Oh, the Lenny Riefen show. Oh, and the AT-ATs. They're showing us all the good scenes from the good movies. I know.
It's going to get better.
This is great. Okay, so this looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
Palpatine.
Lando.
The other Death Star.
Shh, shh, shh. Shh.
Oh. We're missing all the dialogue.
Jake Lloyd.
Oh, now we're in the bad movies. This is the bad place. This is your fight. Oh, see, this is the movie that I don't care about, though. This is the... Right.
It's bringing you up to speed.
Do they know we don't care about this movie?
Oh, it's so dramatic, though. Again, I can't really see anything. I can just hear it.
Oh, it's the story of a generation.
Ooh. Oh, the time. Oh.
Boy,
Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers. And 3PO is there.
Red Eye 3PO.
Oh, yeah. Get ready.
Oh, there's water.
Whoa, mind blown. Mind blown.
What a piece of absolute garbage.
Okay, all right. So, JVL, you see what this is, the end story.
I really respect the fact that they made a 1 minute long trailer for the movie that has like 15 seconds of new footage.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's because they had to show people movies that people actually care about.
Show people movies that they
How
like.
How come they didn't show the Ewoks?
Where was Rose?
And Rose, many, that was essential.
Where was seconds worth of the Rian Johnson flick made it into that montage?
Where was the
4 seconds?
Yeah, easily.
Where was the casino planet?
What?
Where was Canto Bight?
Is that the name of the casino planet, Canto Bight? Okay,
and the Emperor is back.
The Emperor is back.
No one ever really died.
Are you sure?
No one's ever really gone.
I keep on thinking that. Are you sure that's not Snoke? Because I want to know what happens to him.
It would be the greatest. Honestly, the only reason that I'm excited for this movie is to see how spitefully J.J. Abrams has put it together. To see if he like retcons all of the things back into the movie.
It was actually just a simulation. That was a hologram of Snoke.
Yeah.
And Snoke is still really alive.
That it was if he is
the hologram got split in two.
If he is like gonna go back and make Rey like the daughter of Han, or like if he's going to, you know, bring back Snoke and say he was Palpatine or the spirit of Palpatine.
Well,
or something.
You know,
like just or, I mean, like, again, I've said this before on the show, but like the most important shot from that first trailer was the mask getting put back together.
Right.
Was like J.J. Abrams being like, no, mm-hmm. no,
that's right.
I like that
that's
thing.
Right. That's right. So, isn't Snoke like a forest vampire? Isn't that this theory? He's from
like
the disturbance. The disturbance in the forest. Somebody might have told me that. Might have been Andrew Kugel in our office.
What would you say
but.
The odds are that she is in fact related by blood to somebody in the Skywalker clan?
Hi,
I would say, 100%
or 99%.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. I would say it's something like a 50-50 shot. Because again, it depends on like how spiteful Abrams wants to be about this, because Abrams clearly had some idea that she was like related to this whole thing. And I think that Rian Johnson made the right choice by like separating her from all of that entirely. I thought that was actually a smart piece of storytelling to try and like end the Skywalker saga, because Star Wars is all wrapped up in its own nonsense and they need to get out into the rest of that weird universe. Which The Mandalorian, did you see the trailer for The Mandalorian?
Now that is a great trailer.
Is this different from the footage that was out?
I don't know. Yes,
this is a new one. You can look at it later, but yeah, we'll tell you. Is IG-88.
Yeah, so that actually...
yeah, that's it. That's all you need. I'm
it
sold.
Swings.
I'm sold. Yeah, no, I mean, and you wondered how could a little stick robot like that be an assassin droid? And this shows you what IG-88 can do. And it's everything.
So that looks.
Okay. It's only minute 36. You don't
want to watch it. No. It'll feel an eternity for the listeners. Okay. What about the idea of the theory of time travel?
Yeah.
For the trailer.
Right.
My son says, look at those Star Destroyers. Those are Imperial. Those are not New Order, First Order ships.
Tell me, just as a matter of tactics.
Yes.
Do you think it is wise to fly that many Star Destroyers that
close to
one
each
another
other
in tight formation?
Somebody could crash.
Wouldn't you, for instance, want to spread your forces out so that if somebody jumped to light speed and a small craft into it wouldn't
crush
take out
you?
I'm just saying.
Well, by the name of Laura Dern.
Yeah, but if it's in the past though, that the Holdo maneuver doesn't exist yet.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Okay. Nobody would ever think to do that.
No one would ever imagine to do it. I was at the comic book shop over the weekend, and so Star Wars is in. Marvel has gone heavy into the Star Wars comics, mm-hmm. and they've done spinoffs of every possible character you could ever imagine from the entire Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. And things are so desperate and so bad.
Oh.
There is now the Admiral Hux.
Oh, an Admiral Hux?
Admiral Hux has his own series now.
Wow.
Where he's the protagonist?
He's the star.
I don't understand. I get
that one. That would be my comic.
I don't know.
I want one on Admiral Piot. I want Admiral Piot.
I would read the Admiral Piot.
His rise
would
to
not
power.
Read Admiral Hux. Yeah. Piot was great.
Fair.
I don't understand the comic book industry anymore. Are digital sales enough that they can keep printing out tons and tons of pulped issues? Because I feel like...
Yeah, they figured out how to make the pulp issues work.
I just don't understand. I don't...
Scarcity. They've gotten very, very good at managing scarcity. with variant covers, and it doesn't matter.
So none of us saw Angel Has Fallen. Yes,
I saw it.
You did see it, and you liked it.
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay, but
it was bad. It was actually bad.
I'm skipping that one. But we all saw Good Boys. Yes,
we did see Good Boys. I saw Good Boys.
Did anyone else see Good Boys? Come on, don't do this to me.
No, it doesn't need it. But all three of us. I saw
talk about a double dong.
Terrible.
Come on. Okay,
all right.
That's not even a pun.
Sunny. Sunny.
Said double dong.
Yeah. How about a big boy review while and I could stretch out my hip flexor. Go ahead.
All right. Good Boys is the gender swapped Booksmart. And because it's about guys instead of girls, it's made three times as much at the box office. That's my review. Now, it's hard to review comedy. I've never been very good at reviewing comedies because it's either funny or it isn't. Here's what I will say about Good Boys. Good Boys works for me in a way that Booksmart 100% did not, because it is relatable. It feels real. There's more real emotion and like real relationships in the last 10 minutes of this movie, where they're like, where the middle school friends are kind of coming apart. They're discovering girls and they're just discovering, you know, acting, and they're you know, the other nerd group, you know. It's done in this montage that is both funny and kind of touching and kind of sweet and entertaining, and I really like it. So I mean, like, the plot of the movie is these three kids, they need to replace the drone of one of their fathers that they've destroyed by illicitly taking it out of the house. And to do this, they have to go on a journey. They have to go on a quest shopping mall. They have to go on the hero's journey to the shopping mall and get it and come back. And that is like...
In order
so they don't get grounded so they can go to the kissing party. Right. So
basically, it's Star Wars.
It is essentially Star Wars, if you think about it. I'm doing a really bad job of describing this movie. But it is as with any comedy, it's not really the plot that matters so much as the interactions between all of these guys. And I thought it was really well done. And it's one of the rare comedies that doesn't tell all of the jokes in the trailer. I was actually surprised by how much stuff I was seeing on the screen that I hadn't already either seen or had been hinted at in the trailers. For instance, the guest appearance by Stephen Merchant, we were discussing
fantastic.
This as the sex doll enthusiast, and the two best characters in the show in the movie actually are the girls.
The
teen girls who they
Vic, don't black out.
Too late.
I was.
How
pretty,
old are they supposed to be?
I would assume they are supposed to be seniors, right? Because one of them has a boyfriend who just went to college.
That's right.
I don't think so, because they're not in school. They have money. I take them as recent college graduates, mm-hmm. maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Because that's I thought they were definitely still...
They're supposed to be high school.
They were not in college yet. The guy in college was talking about how
Benji.
He had gone to college, yes. And there were all the girls
They're like, no longer girls, but not yet women.
I assume that Midori Francis is Vic's new favorite.
How did you know? Look, you
actress.
Know what's so funny? I literally wrote that down. I am now right. officially in love with Midori Francis.
Anyway, but the
oh my God, Vic, are you okay?
I'm not even into Asians, yeah. Which is how hot she is. You know, that's how surprising it is.
There we go.
Thank you, Sonny.
My review is that it is very funny, and I don't know how to quantify that exactly, except to say that like the interactions between the kids are all great. There's lots of surprises. Mm-hmm. The plot is bare bones enough that there's a lot of stuff you can do within it. And as a bonus, it's like 100 minutes long.
It's exactly the right
it's
length.
Like,
no,
it's
it was
exactly
so perfect
as long as it
was
to be.
So perfect in that amount of time. It's so funny that you should mention Midori Francis, because I was like, where did I see her before? And she was the Liberty Mutual girl. You know, and she's like, your car, and you loved your car, Brad, and this whole thing about the car, Brad, but she looks so much better in this movie, and I wanted to know all about her, And so I typed her into Google. Just make sure it's a secure line. Speaking of which, when you're preparing to travel abroad, there's a lot of things on your checklist to pack. But what's probably missing is the one app that's going to keep you safe and secure online while you're away, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN doesn't just encrypt your data while you surf the internet on public airport and hotel Wi-Fi. It even lets you stream and access content that normally would have been blocked in that country. With ExpressVPN, you can unblock all of your favorite websites and have access to the internet just like you would if you were home. ExpressVPN runs in the background of your computer or phone, and then you use the internet just like you normally would. You download the app, click to connect, and voila, you're protected. I never go online while traveling without ExpressVPN, and you shouldn't either. ExpressVPN is the fastest VPN I've tried, costs less than $7 a month, and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. ExpressVPN uses new cutting-edge technology called Trusted Server to make sure there's no logs of what you do online. So no matter what you're trying to browse online, ExpressVPN gives you instant access all over the world. Don't travel anywhere without downloading ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/WFB. That's expressvpn.com/WFB for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/WFB to learn more. JVL, you were big on this movie for you wanted to see it, and I was like, I don't know if it's, you know, I mean, it looks like it's from the trailer. I thought they were trying too hard, and the language and the kids. It's like, I don't know how this is going to work for me. And I liked it a lot. What did you think?
Two words: McDonald's Society.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
Thank you.
Oh, what a shout out to my friends. JVL remembers.
So yeah. I was.
We all have names.
Touched but. In a very, very deep way by this movie, because Good Boys is essentially an alt version of my tween childhood years. And by the time the movie was over, I was like, not even really joking here, kind of on the verge of tears.
Oh, and, same.
And I thought about you. So my best friend since second grade is still my best friend today. Sure. Yeah. And like, I texted him as I was getting out of the movie theater. I was like, this is the movie about us. You have to go see it. It's the story of us. And I thought about you and the McDonald's Society, which is yours.
So I wonder how many guys say that, because I did the same thing.
What is the McDonald's Society?
Well, it's like the Beanbag Boys. That was just the name of my gang.
So in Good Boys, their little club is like, they call themselves the Beanbag Boys. And for Vic's guys, they call themselves the McDonald's Society.
Because we used to go to McDonald's after school all the time.
Yeah. And for me, it was just me and Chris.
The paragon of health that I am. And you and Chris. Right.
Yeah. But this is, I think, not all guys are lucky enough to have, like, Sonny, because he has no heart or soul, never had friends. No.
Well, you moved around.
I don't know what friends are.
You moved around because.
Yeah. By the time I wound up in Virginia, I was already 14. So I was already like way past this.
But for me, what made it so unbelievably touching as a story was, so the film ends with a very ambiguous view of, are they really gonna grow apart and grow their separate ways, or are they really friends for life? And for people like me and Vic, the answer is that we look at those characters and we know that they're gonna be friends for life anyway, even though they grow up and do different, you know, takes, even though they do different things.
You know what,
like, you know, and your boys all did different things.
It takes effort. I'd say two weeks ago, my other buddy who listens to the podcast, George Guattari, part of the McDonald's Society, he was visiting D.C. And then he hang out and came to the house and had dinner with the family. And I've known George since kindergarten.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's one of those things. And then I texted my other friend, Steve Eustace, who I've known since first grade. And I said the same thing. I said, you got to see this movie. Because at that time, though, in sixth grade, I only had two friends. It was Steve Eustace and Steve Rushford. So watching that again. And also, it's very true when they're all that age, going into sixth grade, which is kind of, you know, an awkward time for many. Some become, you know, mature faster than others. And so, I mean, in our group, you know, Rushford was really, really still into girls. And then me and Steve were still into, like, you know, Marvel role playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
happens.
This is how it was. I was for fifth and sixth grade. I was still in my hippie Quaker school. And our class was 12 kids, 4 girls and 8 boys. I mean, it was like summer camp. It wasn't like real school. And it was bizarre. Like, you know, there was one girl who had boobs. And, like, I was the only guy in the class was kind of into girls, and the rest of us, you know, but we all still played Dungeons and Dragons together. It was all just weird, mm-hmm. and everybody's mm-hmm. kind of changing. Mm-hmm. But also, these friendships can be real and can last for forever. And that's where the sweetness of the movie is. I was really surprised by that.
It was
funny.
As Sonny said, it is really funny.
I asked Sonny, I said,
I don't know. I mean, I have concerns. I mean, because like the kids using that kind of language, you know, I don't know. I'm not really buying into it. But you said, you know, you start not to notice it. And that's true. I didn't.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of like, it thinks... There is a lot of edginess for the sake of edginess. Right. You know, all the stuff with the sex toys.
Seth Rogen was producer.
But he did not write or direct, I don't think. It is incredibly poignant. And again, this
is... Without trying to be. It's not beating you over the head.
It's not because it's honest. Because it is a real look at how people really live. And this is the thing. So I keep comparing this movie to Booksmart, and I do this kind of for two reasons. One is to troll fans of Booksmart because they're insufferable.
I didn't know there were any fans of Booksmart, really.
It's like 93% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and everyone's like, oh, the only reason this movie hasn't succeeded is sexism and blah, blah. And no, the reason that movie hasn't succeeded is because there isn't a single real moment in the film. It is this weird upper middle class white liberal fantasia of what it is like to be a child that is, as best as I can tell, gleaned from like Tumblr diaries and Twitter threads. There's nothing remotely real about that film. It is a grotesque parody of life. And Good Boys is not real either exactly. I mean, kids aren't running around, you know, trading sex dolls for money to go buy,
right.
you know, right. whatever. But the emotions and the relationships of these kids is very true to life, I think.
Some of it is very real. I don't know how... I've been wrestling with how much leg to show in
Go for
talking
it.
About this, but you know, I'd say we had Chris and I together, just us, and then the other little guys who from our little hippie Quaker school had like weirdo adventures, kind of like this. I will never forget this one time. We went through a phase in fifth grade where we were like a ninja clan, and you know, we were fashioning weapons for ourselves, nunchucks, and we were basically like taking hockey sticks and cutting the What do hockey players call the part that you touch the puck with?
Blade?
The blade. Whatever. I don't know.
Captain Bill Dwyer is dying.
Cut it off and just take the stick part. Yeah. And we're like, this is my punja stick. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
So like we went into the woods behind one of our, I forget whose house we were at. It might have been Mike McIntosh's house. And we just started like wandering through the woods. And we wandered through the woods for like 4 hours. And then there was this small stream that we had to cross, and you had to like to get across it. There was a tree lying across it, and most of us got through, but somebody fell off the tree, and like, you know, the water was like 10 or 12 feet deep, and we had to like pull him out, and we just kept going, and we finally came out in like a suburban neighborhood, and we had no earthly idea where we were. And there's like no cell phones. We've been gone for 6 hours. Yeah, yeah, we're carrying these like weirdo pretend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we had gone like two towns over. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, what are we going to do? We don't know how to get home. We don't know
like
where
that.
We are.
Yeah, exactly like
and
that.
So
right,
they,
exactly, yeah.
And so they're
yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
JVL, you are the one who is good at dealing with grownups. Mm-hmm. Go up and knock on a door of a house and ask them to call Mike's mom to come pick us up. And so, like, I went up and I rang the doorbell and I was like, hi, ma'am. I know this is a little bit strange, but we were playing around the woods and kept wandering and we just came out. We have no idea where we are and we were wondering if you could call my friend's mom to pick us up. And, like, you know, this old lady with gray hair was like, fine, sure. And so she called my... Anyway, but points like, we did all this sort of stuff like this and...
We used to, all of these things are sort of quest-like. You think to yourself,
I heard that Walt Gebline's mom's aunt had a Playboy somewhere in the house. So we got to go to his house and figure out a way to get that holiday issue from 1976 mm-hmm. Playboy because it has the extra centerfold in it. And
I was going to say, I remember because, you know, we would be like, you know, we have like... We would do movies on camcorders, you know, make videos and movies on
like young Steven Spielberg.
Everyone wanted to be that, you know, post Goonies or whatever. Like, hey, we're going to do this thing, kids, whatever, make a movie all the time, every weekend. And then one weekend, Steve Rogers like, have you heard of Debbie Does Dallas? Because I got the videotape. And then he borrowed the video another friend who I won't mention, this kid from school, lent him the tape for free, and he then charged other kids.
Was he renting it out?
Yes,
or like Peep Show 25, put a quarter in to run it for 5 more minutes?
Like, no, you could borrow it like for the night, you know?
How much did he charge?
I have no idea, but it was insane. I mean, it's the whole thing insane. So anyway, love that. Just brought all these flooded, you know, memories.
This,
the memories
right?
come flooding
yes.
back. The memories come flooding back. I'm so glad. I mean, I'm just glad the way the movie worked. And there were actual
and
moments.
And the kids in the movie are not
really good.
Well, they're really good actors, but I'm saying the characters themselves are not. They're very normal. They're us.
Yes. Let me
they're
just
not
say
either
this too.
Super good yeah. or super
can I,
bad.
Can
not
I say
crazy
this?
Smart,
that's
crazy
right.
popular.
That's right.
They're
no, they're
normal.
Just normal kids.
Well, this is one of the reasons why this movie works and like Superbad works, right? Like, because they're basically just normal.
And it's way better than Superbad.
Relatable.
Really?
Way better.
I need
than
to think
Superbad.
About it. I need to think about that. But I was, Sonny, I was going to say also, I was so glad to see the young actor Jacob Tremblay. I said, thank yes. God he was able to get a job after being in The Predator. He was the son, the autistic son in
right.
The Predator.
He was.
Oh, that's right. Oh. Okay.
He was also, what was he in? He was in The Room, right?
Room was and that? Also Augie in
yeah,
Wonder. So he's a very good
oh,
actor.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in that. The yeah. kid who plays Lucas.
Oh, the best.
Fantastic. That kid's
yeah.
comic timing
right,
is
right,
so
right,
good.
Right, right. No, absolutely. Body language, the whole thing. He knows it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I thought everything about the about Good Boys was... fantastic.
I think the part that I laughed the loudest for whatever reason was when they're trying to buy the drugs, and it's a total like homage to Boogie Nights because they have the noise going
thank
off.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought to myself, yeah. this is
the
this
air
is
horn,
their
and
version
jumping at
of
it,
being
right.
In...
The three of them they're jumping at every time they hear
yes.
her because there's like the hazing going yeah. on upstairs, and then the other and then the guy who's going to sell them the drugs, you know, says, you know, what am I going to sell? You know, a bunch of 7-year-olds, and then he turns to Lucas.
Except for you. Yeah. I know you from Econ.
It is funny. It is funny. I had totally forgotten about because I watched this like a month ago now.
Oh, that's true.
So I had totally forgotten about the excursion to the frat house.
That's great.
Which is
that's
one
great.
Of the funniest yeah. bits yeah. in the whole thing, especially because the boyfriend is such a scumbag.
Yeah. Oh, awful.
He finally just says to the kid, as this like 11-year-old kid who wants to buy Molly from him, he goes, "Yeah, fine, whatever. I'm not your parents."
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Right. And the sort of the seediness of the frat house, you know, it's just,
was he, do you think he was actually going to sell them the drugs or was he just trying to find out
who it
sent
was.
Them? I went back and forth on this. I thought
I don't know.
I got the sense that he just wanted the intel.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I hard to tell. Too.
But the girl also the girls were great.
The girls are
the
really
two girls
very
are
funny.
Fully formed characters. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
And they're great. Oh. And that they turn out that she turns out to be the older sister of the super popular kid.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it puts everything in perspective mm-hmm. because, of course, she's the one who says, "I have a younger brother. You're mm-hmm. supposed to terrify them."
Yeah, right. Exactly. They go to the party. I love the mom. So they,
like,
she goes,
"I don't even want to know what's going on down there."
I mean, their parents like that, yeah. and it's terrifying. And it's happening in the basement.
But the other thing mm-hmm. that again just mm-hmm. stuck mm-hmm. just hit me very very close
mm-hmm.
to home
mm-hmm.
was the idea of talking. In a pseudo-sophisticated way about things that you only vaguely
yeah.
kind of have understand.
That's actually very
and
true.
So when
I was thinking about that.
When they're talking about the super popular kid,
mm-hmm.
they're like, man, he's so popular that, what did they say? They say, you know, he was blowjobbing against the locker
right.
or something. Like just
right.
Wildly.
Or the way they talk about the sips of beer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've done a sip of beer.
Right.
You know, and
I've done
so
a sip.
There's that yeah. element of it. Yeah. So it's great.
Man.
Yeah.
Sweet. And here's a question. Would our wives understand? Would it mean anything to our wives? Because I came home and the first thing I did,
I'd love to watch it again. I'd love to watch it again.
You have to watch this.
I said the same thing.
But then I thought to myself, I don't know if like girlhood is like this. Like I don't know if 11-year-old girls have the same sort of thing or not.
I don't think any of Kate's friends say, "Hey, I got some porn. Let's watch it." You know, I don't think they did.
No, it wouldn't be. But it might be something. The question is, do they have that sort of?
I don't know.
Thing and
I don't
know the answer to it.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
This this is another reason why perhaps it is just sexism that good
boys win. I didn't want to troll, but
doesn't.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
Well, no, not sexism. But
and it's short enough
it
you can see it again.
That Booksmart really does like is a real thing for girls that you just
possibly
you and I can't recognize
it's entirely,
because like
I'm
gender
not sure.
experience.
I love Sonny's face
I'm
when
not,
you said that.
Not,
by
I'm
the way,
I'm frankly not sure Olivia Wilde, the director, had what we would describe as a normal, you know, childhood.
That's right.
She's like the children of. actors, right? I think something.
I guess. I don't know.
She's like the niece of Alexander Coburn.
Yeah. Oh. No, she's like rich and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but it did make me wonder. I mean, gender differences are real.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And it plays out in the types of relationships we have, you know, with our friends.
It might just be a guy movie.
It's mm-hmm. very possible.
It's entirely possible.
It's just mm-hmm. a guy movie.
A++.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So sweet. I imagine that I will... It's funny. So
A++ Flash, is when you get perfect and then you do the extra credit.
Flash wanted to go see this because he's seen commercials for it during...
I know. Kids see it and they think...
Right. And I was able to honestly say to him, I said to him, look, first of all, it's wildly inappropriate. I will not take you to see this. But second of all, I said to him, you wouldn't get any of it. You would be bored to tears by it because, again, I just don't think... None of this makes any sense.
Which is
unless
crazy.
You're an adult.
So they're all, but they're all going into sixth grade. And you just think that, you know, you think to yourself, God, I really hope they're not talking like that for real, you know. Yeah. But I don't know.
Oh God, the theater director. I just remembered. I just got a flash of him like
fantastic.
Doing drugs on the in the backstage as they're doing the play.
They're doing the lines. Yeah. They have a line. The scene where he does the lines is fantastic.
It really. They're just lots
of
little
Thor goes in with
the little
donut and comes out and does lines on stage.
Okay,
that was awesome. What so. Tell me, so Rock of Ages?
Yeah, Rock of Ages.
What is Rock of Ages, the story of?
Well, you know, and Tom Cruise did the movie version.
They made a
of
movie of Rock of Ages. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's like a celebration
of...
But of which band?
Of Hades
hair
band. Oh, it's
a generic hair band. It's yeah. not yeah. one.
But I thought it was supposed to be Poison. I always assumed it was Poison.
They do all. They just do all of the songs. It's not
that's right. That's right. So they do all the heavy metal songs from our time that we... Songs that, I mean, at the time were like, eh. And then you look back, oh, I love that.
It's not like the Motley Crue musical.
No, The Dirt.
The Dirt.
Great movie.
That wasn't a musical. That was Truth.
That was Truth.
It was a biopic.
Okay, do we have any
the
other...
The true story.
Any other good boy thoughts? Everything?
The
good?
Dirt was a big hit in the Free Beacon office. I remember...
I went to the screening.
You and I and Harrison
and
were
Aaron
in,
Harrison
in this office.
And half
we had a bottle of Jack.
Yeah, no, you believe it or not, it was a bottle of Wild Turkey.
A bottle of Wild Turkey,
and I believe
even better.
It was like...
Was it the 101?
Yeah, it was Wild Turkey 101. Oof. And I believe at the end of that movie, there was less than half left.
Yeah, there was a...
That was a...
That was an Uber home for work amount. Day.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember how I got home that day. Okay. Corrections, additions, shout-outs. I have a correction from 2 weeks ago. Multiple listeners, including Michael Voronoff, inform us that the fourth Marx brother was Zeppo, not Gummo. Remember, Continetti said he was Gummo.
I didn't
people
care
really got
about
into,
this
people
at all.
Really cared about this, and Gummo was a brother, but he wasn't in any of the movies. I do have another a shout out. I had lunch recently at the Palm with listeners Keenan and Brianna McGinnis, and they were the ones who had given us the Rip Van Winkle, and we gave them stuff for their
they
anniversary.
They didn't invite me?
You were at the beach.
Oh, okay.
Where was I?
I you don't work here anymore.
They didn't want you.
You don't work here anymore. Wow. I don't see you.
They only wanted Vic.
Wow. Oh, they didn't want
Mr.
Vic.
President over here.
They didn't want JBL
Class
or Sonny.
President okay. Vic
all right,
Mattis.
All right, all right. That's all
oh,
the
is
time.
Is it because you're both Excuse Hoyas? Me. Is that why? Because you're
all three.
All of you
all
are.
Three. She went to Georgetown Law. Unfortunately, she didn't go to undergrad. She only went to Yale. Okay, that's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments. Tweet us at Victorina Mattis, at Sunny Bunch. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon under podcasts. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. I have one tiny thing, but other than that.
Tell me, or we can watch the Mandalorian trailer, or you tell me.
Let's discuss Mandalorian maybe next episode, I think. Let's see. You need to realize it's really good. No, my other thing is it was a lovely lunch. With Keenan and Brianna, and they were in town for business and such. And then we were chatting about Georgetown, what it was back in the day. Remember this?
I'm glad I didn't
that.
Go.
Yeah, you
I was throwing my drink on
we
them.
We had an extra. There was an extra seat, and it was like in your honor. And then I said, oh, yeah, but, you know, I said, so when did you graduate from Georgetown undergrad? And Keenan says, oh, a long time ago, 2012.
Old man Mattis.
Yeah. I said, I think I went to school with your parents. I said, okay.
And then did you say, I'm sure it's fine? Is that what you're gesturing at me? Oh, I'm sure it's fine.